Christ, and last week, just to briefly recap, I introduced the person and work of the Holy Spirit, give an introductory message into the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I covered a lot of ground, but I want to just recap a few points in case you missed last week, okay? So, understanding the Holy Spirit. One, the Holy Spirit is God. We believe in one God that's uniquely three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is part of the mystery and majesty of God. He is Trinity. One God, three persons. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is involved in creation, and throughout the Old Testament came upon certain leaders and certain prophets, certain individuals for specific events in Israel's history. As declared by God through the prophet Joel, a time would come when the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all people, all kinds of people, and men, women, young and old, no social condition, prophesied 500 years before Christ by the prophet Joel. Then, as I noted last week, in the New Testament, Jesus reaffirms the promised Holy Spirit would come. And we can read about that in John 16. And then in Acts chapter 2, at Pentecost, this promise was fulfilled. And at Pentecost, we remember that the Apostle Peter quoted Joel, the prophet Joel, who spoke 500 years before. And now, all genuine believers in Jesus are given this gift of the Holy Spirit. Not just specific leaders for certain people and times, as we saw in the Old Testament, but for now, it is for all who are followers of Jesus. All have been given this and are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So we spent some time here in Ephesians 1 last week, which says, and just read it with me, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory." Wow. So I don't know about you, but you know, it still shatters my mind to think that the maker of the universe not only gives us life and breath, like that would be a gift enough in itself, but He also gives us the opportunity to have a relationship with Him by faith through Jesus Christ, His Son. And if that wasn't gift enough, He comes by His Holy Spirit to live inside of us. How great is our God? I think all too often we lose sight of the generosity of God, the mercy and grace, the abundance of His generosity. I think we take His kindness for granted. You know, God was never obliged to give us life. He was never obliged to offer us salvation. And He certainly isn't obliged to indwell us by His presence in the Holy Spirit. But He does. This is our God. What a merciful God. To we who believe, this is exactly what He's done. He's given us His Spirit. So as I noted last week, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the seal that marks us as God's possession. Notice that? We're a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, who are God's possession. Wow. He gives us peace. We could put it this way. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the seal that marks us as God's possession, gives us peace and security because we know that we belong to God. You know, this slide was prepared earlier this week before I knew about the situation in Oregon. But can you just think about those people that stood up, right, at that college? Picked out, not because they had teased the gunman, not because they had threatened the gunman, but picked out rather because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Can't imagine what it must have been like for those victims in that moment of terror. But what we do know is this: Jesus had so radically changed their lives that they were willing to stand up for Him and die for the cause of Christ. They were ready to meet their Maker. They had encountered God, and God had moved into their lives when they chose to believe. And they were given security and assurance because of that faith, because of what God had done. When we have a genuine encounter with God, when we are sincere in our belief in Jesus, our lives are truly changed. Amen? Amen. Our lives are truly changed. We're not the same. Jesus said, by their fruit, you'll know them. By their fruit, you'll know them. We live differently, don't we? When we encounter Christ, we talk differently, we think differently than the world around us. Some might say those Christians were crazy in Oregon. Why didn't they just lie for a day and ask God to forgive them? No, that wasn't an option for those that stood up, because they knew they were God's possession. They weren't just playing church. They weren't just putting an hour here or an hour there and calling it discipleship. Those that gave their lives this week had been radically changed from the inside out. They had security because they knew they belonged to God and were His possession. You know, this unspeakable tragedy is yet another fire alarm for us, calling us to attention, reminding us of what Jesus said here in Matthew 16. Let's read it together. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." But let's not just end there. Let's keep reading. "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what he has done." Wow, there's a lot to meditate there. A lot to meditate on. So that's a bit of a parenthesis I wanted to begin with this morning, but I believe we needed to go there and acknowledge what had happened this week. You know, when God seals us by His Holy Spirit, He enables us to do things that we would not normally think of doing. Like the kind of courage we saw this week. That's certainly an example. If you have a Bible this morning, and I hope you do, I want you to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And first person who has the pew Bible number can just call that out and I'll share that number. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1785. Thank you. 1785 in the pew Bible. 1785 in the pew Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's actually not the chapter isn't too long, so I'm going to read, and you can just follow along while I read. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes to each one just as He determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, and as so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, prophets. First of all, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then miracles. Then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this incredible text of Scripture. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will speak through your word. And the truths that we consider today that are within this, may they be written on our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my title for the message this morning, Growing in Our Spiritual Gifts, Part 2, is this: Informed, Not Ignorant. Informed, not ignorant. The church in Corinth was very blessed with many gifts of the Spirit. Like every genuine believer in Jesus today, the believers in Corinth were given supernatural gifts of the Spirit. But here's the thing. They were immature in their understanding of what they were all about. From previous chapters, we learn that there were quite a number of issues in the church of Corinth. And if you've read the book of Corinthians lately, you'll know what I'm talking about. For example, in chapter 11, verse 17, Paul said, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. Can you imagine that? That their meetings were doing more harm than good. Things were chaotic in the Corinthian church. And what they needed was counsel and direction from the Lord. And that is what God gave them through the Apostle Paul. The reality is, though, no matter what time period, no matter the context, every Christian in every congregation needs the counsel of God on this subject of the Holy Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. And there's much of that in our text today. We're not going to cover everything in this passage, but what I want to do this morning is at least address two key questions. Two questions, and they are this: what are spiritual gifts, and why have they been given? Okay, so quite simply, what are spiritual gifts and why have they been given? I want to jump in. We notice from verse 1 of our text today, says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. or I do not want you to be uninformed. Well, what we notice right away, first of all, is that these gifts are spiritual. What we're talking about here, it sounds obvious, but these gifts are supernatural, they are spiritual, they are connected to the divine. What we also see down in verse 7 of our text today is that now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, the demonstration of the Spirit, is given for what purpose? What does it say there? Two words, common good. So, they're not just for one person here or one person there. You see, that would be uncommon, but they're for the common good. They're for the good of the whole church. Paul's speaking, this letter's been written to the church of Corinth. Writing to the church in Rome, Paul also said this, I long to see you so that I may impart to you or share with you, is what he means there, some spiritual gift to make you what? Strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. The Apostle Paul wanted to share a spiritual gift in order to make the believers in Rome strong. And you notice it's a two-way street from this verse, as we see in verse 12 here, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So, John Piper, he's a pastor in Minnesota, he put it this way, a spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively for the upbringing of another person's faith. It's an ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively for the bringing up of another person's faith. Spiritual gifts are activated by faith. They are empowered by the Holy Spirit and our purpose to produce more faith in another person. You getting this? I know it's deep. We see this again in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read it together. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Built up. So, we need to ask ourselves this morning, whose faith can I build up today? Whose faith can I build up this week? Now, next week, we'll get into maybe some of the more specifics of the different spiritual gifts listed, but maybe before we get too kind of concerned with what spiritual gift God's given me or what spiritual gift God's given you, we should just ask ourselves simply this question. Who can I build up? In this worship space this morning, let's say there are about 100 people. There's 100 opportunities to build up someone's faith. We need to look around. This is where God has you right now, and this is where He wants you to be using the gift or gifts He's given you. So what might I do today? What might you do today to strengthen the faith of someone around you? See, that's what I believe is a vital first step in understanding our gift, is just to ask ourselves, who can I encourage? Who can I build up? And as we do that, what comes to mind, like for some of you, what comes to mind may be, well, maybe I'll have that person over. There's someone I know that's, you know, could use some encouragement. For someone else, it could be, I know somebody in need, and I can give generously to that person. Perhaps you're walking into the sanctuary one morning, and you notice someone looking down, and you go out of your way to see how they're doing, and you lift their spirits. Well, you've got the gift of encouragement, right? You see someone that needs their lawn cut, or some wood chopped, and you go and you help that person out. You got the gift of service. Maybe you find yourself able to organize people into action. You have vision for where things can develop and grow. And at the same time, you care deeply for those around you. Perhaps you have the gift of leadership. Next week, I want us to spend a little more time in the specifics of this. But for today, I want us to be informed and aware of the critical starting point that spiritual gifts are from God, given to all believers for the purpose of growing faith in those around us. Do we all have room to grow in our faith? Yeah, we do. We've all got room to grow in our faith. We need each other. God's designed it that way. The moment we think to ourselves, oh, I've got this. It's okay. I don't need your help. I don't need you. I don't need anyone. I don't need the leadership of the church. I don't need to worship with other Christians. I don't need to have believers keeping me accountable. That is when we've become like a lonely limb, a detached ear, or an amputated toe. We've got to look at verse 12 and 20 just for a second here. Look at 12 in the text. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. One body, many parts. You notice 20? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. This is God's design. It's not the Apostle Paul's idea here. This is God's idea. It was God's plan. Verse 18. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body. This is God's doing. This isn't the pastor saying, you've got this. You know, I'm going to say, I'm imparting to you this, or I'm imparting to you that, or some mentor is coming into your life and says, this is what you should do. I'm giving you this gift. No, God has already done this. This is God's work. This is what He's done. And that is emphasized actually several times in the passage. God has placed the parts in the body. This is God's doing. So, you know, I like to think of an illustration of a team. And I don't know if any of you guys watching the Blue Jays these days, but, you know, they're on quite a run. And we're all hoping for the Jays. But you just imagine if the guy at first base in the middle of the game decided he'd take a nap. Okay? And he uses first base as a pillow. Obviously, the team's going to be a little upset with that. Team's not going to be able to function. What if the pitcher says, hey, I got a really sore arm today. And, you know, all the pitchers say, we all got sore arms today. We're not going to throw the ball. Or the guy in the outfield decides to pull out a cell phone and start having a conversation with, you know, order some McDonald's for after the game. And, you know, we need to work together, right? The teams remind us, whenever we turn on the game, they remind us that it's a unified thing. Things need to be working together in order for things to happen rightly. And the same is with the body. In the illustration that Paul uses here, right, we need each other, right? The foot, right, can't say, well, I'm not a hand, so I'm not part of the body. Well, that doesn't make any sense, the Apostle Paul says here. Or the eye, or the ear, right? We need each other. You know, sadly, I think some of us are getting so busy with life, and I include myself, that we stop looking around. We stop asking this question, whose faith can I build up today? Anybody here busy? You know, don't put your hand up. We are. We're busy, right? And maybe the farmers are really busy right now. But we sometimes, some of us, right? I'm talking to myself here. We get so caught up in just my little world. What's going on in my life this week, and in my family, or in my job, or in my this, and my that. And we forget to ask this question. Whose faith can I build up? You have been given a gift to be given. You ever been given a present that was really like for somebody else? Like, you know, like when we got married, we got some wonderful presents, and like a big casserole dish, right? And it was just Amy and I. It was really like, that's really too big for us. So that's a gift given to us really so that we can have the family over, right? And have mom and dad and the siblings over so we could really put a big meal on for them. You know, some gifts are given that we give away. And that's just how they are. And God has given you a gift to be given away. A gift to be given. So, how can I build up someone else's faith? So we need to ask ourselves that question. You know, God, you've given me a gift to give away. Who can I bless? Who can I encourage? Who can I build up? We might need to ask the question, who's suffering in our community of faith that's being ignored? Who's staying weak in the faith? Someone who's staying easily pushed over, easily swept away, because I've been too into myself, I've been too into my issues, I've been too into my problems. Satan does not want his church rooted and built up in the faith. We know that is true, don't we? The enemy does not want us growing in our walks with Christ. Our flesh sometimes doesn't want to get off the couch and make that call or invite that person over. Or, you know, it's not just the devil. Sometimes our own sinful nature and tendencies rise up. Opposition is going to come. We can count on that. But we can also count on this powerful truth from 1 John 4. And if you've been doing the New Testament challenge, you'll know we just read this week. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You can look at the greater context of that later, but what is so true in that situation is so true of us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And who is in us? Who we've been talking about that is indwelling us and deposited and sealed in us but the Holy Spirit. I need to say also, I am greatly encouraged here because I witness spiritual gifts being used all the time. I saw gifts in action yesterday at a missions committee meeting. I saw spiritual gifts in action on Friday at the cabbage roll dinner. I saw spiritual gifts in action at the youth meeting following. I saw gifts of hospitality in action this week. I saw gifts of generosity in action. I saw gifts of evangelism, faith, teaching, leadership. That's just this week. I could go on. I want to say I'm encouraged. I don't want you to leave today feeling like the pastor beat up on me. He thinks I'm not doing anything. No, that's not the case. That's not the case. Many of you are actively using the gifts and enablements that the Holy Spirit has given you. And I want to encourage you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. But perhaps you're here this morning and you know God has been poking at your heart and at your mind to grow in your God-given, Spirit-empowered gift. And I want to ask you again this question. I want us to ask ourselves this question. Whose faith can I build up? If spiritual gifts are for the building up of God's church, as we read in Ephesians 4, then we need to ask ourselves, who around me can I build up? Can I encourage? How can I serve? As verse 26 of our text today says, if you want to look at that, you can. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Don't wait and say to yourself, someone else will do it. Someone else will serve me. Because that's not what it's about. It's about giving. It's about getting out there. God is calling you. I can say that with confidence this morning. God is calling each of you. Each of you, if you are a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, God is calling you to build up someone else's faith. And he has gifted you in a way that you can do that. And in a specific way. God has set it up, right? This is God's design Right? God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, verse 18. God has done that. You have been on the receiving end of that gift. And that should encourage you. I want us to be reminded of this verse too in closing. Let's read it. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's not by our might, it's not by my power or your power, but it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what God says. That is what God says. So can you remember that question? It's simple. Whose faith can I build up today, this week? Take that to heart. Take that to heart. We're now, in just a few moments, going to share in communion and remember the sacrifice of Jesus. Incredible thing is, none of us would be given a spiritual gift. None of us would be indwelt by the Spirit of God if it weren't for the cross. If it weren't for what Jesus has done for us, for you personally. If you were the only one on this earth, Jesus still would have come and died. He had to die on the cross. It was the only way for our sins to be forgiven, to be washed away. The perfect, sinless Lamb of God had to take away our sin. No one else could. It had to be God in His Son. So let's bow with thankfulness and pray.